You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in today's lecture, we're going to look at chapter 4 of the Gospel according to St. Isaiah. And in particular, we want to zero in on verse 2, which talks about the day of the branch of Yahweh. So let's go ahead and get started. So the text of verse 2 reads this: In that day, the branch of Yahweh shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land shall be the pride and honor of the survivors of Israel. Now let's go ahead and start by looking at this phrase, in that day. Now this is the language that we heard back in chapter 2. At verse 11 it said this: The haughty looks of man shall be brought low, and the lofty pride of men shall be humbled. And Yahweh alone will be exalted in that day. Or again at verse 17 of chapter 2. And the haughtiness of man shall be humbled, and the lofty pride of men shall be brought low. And Yahweh alone will be exalted in that day. Did you catch that in both places? Of course. In that day. Verses 11 and 12, that Yahweh alone will be exalted. And then in verse 20, it goes on to say, In that day, mankind will cast away their idols of silver and their idols of gold, which they made for themselves to worship. So all of this will take place in that day. Yahweh alone will be exalted. Let me say that again. Yahweh alone will be exalted. And of course, all mankind will cast away all their idols in that day. And so this language, this prophetic language of the prophetic spirit, says that there's a promise that these events will take place. And then he gives to us, in that day they will be fulfilled. And so when we look at all of these promises and the day of all of the completion of the fulfillment, all of this points to Christ, who is the fulfillment of all the promises in the Scripture. So that when we hear the words, in that day, it should perk up our ears and listen about the promise and see the fulfillment in the Christ. So in that day, Yahweh alone will be exalted. And in that day, all mankind will cast away their idols. And so in this passage in chapter 4, Isaiah says, In that day, the branch of Yahweh shall be beautiful and glorious. And so this is the language of the Messiah. The branch of Yahweh is the one who will come. He's the coming one. He's the promised one. He's the one who will bring in the kingdom of God. He's the one that will bring all the Gentiles who are in darkness. He will bring the Gentiles into light so that they will cast away their idols of silver and gold. So that in that day when Messiah comes, Yahweh alone will be exalted as the King of Kings. In fact, this same language of the branch is the language that Jeremiah uses in chapter 23. The prophet Jeremiah sings in unison with Isaiah, saying, Behold, the days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: Yahweh is our righteousness. So this is the language of the branch, the coming Messiah, the son of David. In fact, Jeremiah will again use this same imagery, the same language, in chapter 33 of his book, where he says again, "In those days and at that time I will cause a righteous branch to spring up from David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell securely." So again, you have Jeremiah using this twice in his book, both in chapter 23 and in chapter 33. That in that day, in those days, when all of this is fulfilled, the righteous branch, the son of David, shall arise and be the king. And as the son of David, he is truly human, and so he is the king who reigns on the throne of David. But as the son of God, he is truly divine. And so thus he is given the name Yahweh, our righteousness. So this whole language of the branch, this is the one who will come to bring in the eternal kingdom. Now this language of the survivors of the land, these are the remnant. They're the ones who continue to listen and hear the voice of God and trusting in this promise and believing the fulfillment of it is found in the branch of David, the righteous one, rises up to bring his kingdom to Jerusalem. And so Isaiah will go on in verse 3 and say, "And he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who has been recorded for life in Jerusalem." Now remember what Isaiah is saying is that Jerusalem is the city in which the Lord himself will reign from. That he will come to Jerusalem, but he will also be rejected by Jerusalem, and the king will be crucified. As the word is rejected in the days of Isaiah, the incarnate word is rejected when he walks in the paths of Jerusalem, and he walks towards his own death on the cross. But yet there will be the remnant, the survivors in Jerusalem, who will listen, who will believe, and therefore they shall be called holy. As Martin Luther, the blessed reformer, will note, they are holy because he is holy. That is the righteous branch, the one who will rise up from Jerusalem. This is how they are called holy. They are called holy through him. Now Eusebius of Caesarea, the early church father, he notes here that this remnant, these survivors, are those of the Jewish people who have believed in Christ, among whom were the apostles who were dispersed. Thus we call them the holy apostles. And he also notes, Eusebius says, that in this prophecy has been worked out because those from Israel who first believed in Christ, that is the apostles and disciples and the evangelists of the Savior, they were famous everywhere on earth as the gospel message went out through the whole world. And so Eusebius also notes that in this text, Isaiah says, everyone who has been recorded for life in Jerusalem. And he makes the comparison of how the disciples and the apostles, when they went down, they're performing the miracles and they were rejoicing that even the demons were in subject to them. But Jesus says, don't rejoice in that. Rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven, for they have been recorded for life. And so these are the survivors. These are those who continue to listen to the voice of Jesus and rejoice in him, the one who brings to them salvation and life and the forgiveness of sins and bestows his own holiness upon them. Isaiah contrasts this remnant who believe and are called holy with those who despised the Holy One of Israel. If you remember back in chapter 1, verse 4, you had this word from God. "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, children who deal corruptly, they have forsaken Yahweh, they have despised the Holy One of Israel, and they are utterly estranged." And so the Holy One of Israel is the Son of God, the very Word of God. And those who despise the Holy One are unholy. They are laden with iniquity. But the remnant, the survivors who trust in the Holy One are called holy. So you have the apostles in Acts chapter 3, when they are this remnant, these survivors in Jerusalem who continue to listen to the word of life. You have the apostles stand up and say, "You denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses." Now that's in Acts chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. Again, the Holy One is the Son of God, who was denied, who was despised, and who was put to death. But those who trusted in Him, those who continue to listen to Him, those who continue to rejoice in Him, are called holy. Now the prophet Joel, in unison, he says this in chapter 2, "It shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of Yahweh shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as Yahweh has said. And among the survivors shall be those whom Yahweh calls." Now in Acts chapter 2, we have the account of the apostles as the remnant, the survivors who believe and are called holy, who now preach Christ crucified to those gathered in Jerusalem, that through their message, those who hear would be called by Yahweh. And as they're called by Yahweh, invited to believe in Christ, they are then saved, calling upon the name of Yahweh. And so Peter will tell them exactly how to call upon the name of Yahweh, that is, to be baptized in the name of Jesus. After quoting from the book of Joel, Peter then stands up and he says this, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. You see, when Peter proclaims this message of salvation to the people, he tells them that the day that the Lord promised that would come has come, and it came right then and there before their own eyes. This was all part of the Lord's definite plan and foreknowledge. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. But notice what Peter does. He doesn't just leave it here and say, "You guys crucified the author of life, and now there's no hope for you." But instead, he gives to them this message of salvation, that everyone who calls upon the name of Yahweh will be saved. And then he tells them specifically how they are to call upon Yahweh, by being baptized in the name of Jesus, so that they too would be part of this remnant, the survivors in Jerusalem, who call upon the name of Yahweh and are called by Yahweh holy. And so when Peter proclaims this, you have the response in verse 37 of Acts chapter 2. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. So here Paul says exactly how you are to call upon the name of Yahweh to be saved, to be baptized in the name of Yahweh. And in this way you confess that Jesus is Yahweh. Now Paul will talk about this later on in the letter to the baptized in Rome. In chapter 10, Paul will say this, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." And so this is Romans chapter 10. And here, notice what Paul is saying. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that is, Jesus is Yahweh. And here we make a distinction between the person of the Father and the person of the Son. For the Son alone took upon and assumed the human nature. And so he has the name Jesus, which means Yahweh salvation, Yahweh saves. And so Jesus is Yahweh. This is a distinction we're making here between the person of the Son, who comes in the flesh in order to be this atoning sacrifice. And then Paul teaches us to make a distinction between the Son and the Father, calling him God, for the Father did not take upon the human nature. He does not have the name Jesus. He did not die. It is Jesus who died for us. And here in this distinction, it's the Father who is referred to as God who raised Jesus from the dead. Now, Paul will further go on in Romans chapter 10 at verse 12 and say this, "For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And so again, notice what Paul is doing. Paul is teaching us to confess that Jesus, according to his human nature, is Yahweh. Of course, according to his divine nature, he has always been Yahweh since the beginning of time. But in particular, we're to confess that Jesus is Yahweh. So Paul says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, for he is the one Lord, the Lord who is Lord of all. He's the same Lord of the Jews, and he's the same Lord of all creation. He is the Lord of both Jew and Greek. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But Jesus has been given the name that is above every name, so that every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. That is Yahweh, the name that is above every name. Thus, those who call upon the name of Jesus will be saved, and therefore will be called holy. They will be recorded for life. Now again, remember, it was Jesus who said to his disciples in Luke chapter 10, "Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." And then later on in the book of Revelation in chapter 3, Jesus says, "The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." See, the one who confesses Christ before men has Christ. And then Christ himself says he will confess your name before the Father, declaring that you belong to him because your name has been written in the book of life. He does not pencil your name in the book of life. He writes it in his blood. But notice in the book of Revelation in chapter 21, though, those who do not confess the name of Christ, those who do not call upon the name of Jesus to be saved, he says this in Revelation chapter 21, nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. For those who are in Christ shall not be condemned. In Christ you are called holy. In Christ you are recorded for life in Jerusalem, the city that rejected him and the city in which atonement for your sins was made, the city where he rose from the dead. Now going back to Isaiah chapter 4, we read this in verse 4. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and cleansed the bloodstains of Jerusalem from its midst by a spirit of judgment and by a spirit of burning. So again, when does this take place? When does it happen? This is all in that day. The day that you will be called holy, the day that you'll be written in the book of life, the day that the Lord washes away the filth of the daughters of Zion and cleanses the blood stain. Now, when we look at this blood of Jerusalem, again, this should ring in our heads as something that we would recall from chapter 1. At that point, the word of Yahweh said this in chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. So remember back in chapter 1, we were talking about this blood on the hands of the people of Jerusalem, in particular, the leaders. But they are to be washed and they are to be cleansed from this blood. Now, when we see the days of Christ, when he is rejected by the leaders in Jerusalem and crucified, they have blood on their hands, specifically his blood. And one who had blood on his hands in Jerusalem would be the rabbi Saul of Tarsus. But yet Saul was washed and cleansed by the waters of holy baptism, so that he too would be called holy. And he was given a new name, and he is now known as Paul the Apostle. And so in Acts chapter 22, Paul recounts what took place when he had blood on his hands as those in Jerusalem who rejected the word of God. The incarnate word of God sent Paul to Ananias so that he would be washed and cleansed from the blood on his hand, for he was trying to persecute and slaughter those who confessed Christ. And of course, when Paul goes to Ananias, Ananias says, "And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." So just like what Peter told those in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, what must we do to be saved? Repent and be baptized, calling upon his name. And so here you have Paul calling upon the name of Jesus so that his sins are washed away, so that he is cleansed by the blood of Christ, removing the blood that is on his hands, that is the blood of the martyrs. In Acts chapter 22, Paul even gives to us this account of how he had a conversation with the risen and ascended Lord, in which he talks to Jesus about the blood on his own hands. So Paul says in Acts chapter 22, "Lord, they themselves know that in one synagogue after another, I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him. And he said to me, Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. So here Paul is referring to the blood on his hands. Specifically, you have the blood of Stephen as he watched Stephen being martyred. But yet the blood that is on his hand, that blood stain of Jerusalem, has been washed away and cleansed in the waters of holy baptism, through which Paul calls upon the name of Jesus, that is, the name of Yahweh, to be saved. And so later on in Paul's letter to Titus, when he talks about this cleansing and this washing and this calling upon the name of Yahweh to be saved in baptism, he says to Titus in chapter 3 that the Father saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And so you have Paul writing to Titus and once again reiterating this washing, this cleansing, calling it a washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. And in this way, we call upon the name of Yahweh to be saved as we are baptized into the name of Yahweh. We are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. For the Father is Yahweh, the Son is Yahweh, and the Holy Spirit is Yahweh. So in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 4, it says, When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and cleansed the bloodstains of Jerusalem from its midst by a spirit of judgment and by a spirit of burning. So now we focus our attention on this judgment and this burning. Now we notice that Jesus himself talks about his crucifixion in Jerusalem in this way in John chapter 12, saying that now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. So that when Jesus is lifted up on the cross, atoning for our sin, and not only ours, but for the sin of the whole world, the judgment of the world is now laid out. And it's judgment upon the ruler of this world. Now, who's the so-called ruler of this world? It's the devil who has deluded and deceived the Gentiles and all nations in his dominion of darkness. And so the theologian Cyril of Alexandria, way back in the 5th century, he'll note and he'll say this, that God entered into judgment with this world and with Satan by doing this, expelling the latter as the wrongdoer, and on the other hand, justifying by faith those in the world as the ones who have been wronged. Cyril will go on to say that we maintain the spirit of judgment being the right judgment or righteousness is the verdict imposed on us by God.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.